Let's pray. Lord, inspire my words. Help us to hear and understand, and encourage us to serve in your name. Amen. Please be seated. So, I don't know, about 25 years ago, representatives from all of the major Christian traditions got together and decided, wouldn't it be a cracking idea if every Sunday we had the same set of Bible readings in all our churches all around the world? So wherever a Christian might go, whether it's Methodist or Baptist or Anglican or Roman Catholic or whatever, they would hear the same scripture read. And if over the course of a few years we could cover a large portion of the Bible in those readings. And that's exactly what they did. They came up with the Revised Common Lectionary. And then they all went back home to their traditions and denominations and tweaked it to suit their own purposes. And us Anglicans changed this last Sunday of Trinity to be Bible Sunday, which is a cracking idea, but it does get away from the idea that we're all doing the same thing. So, easy question to start with. Don't be taken in, that's a lie. What is the Bible? What is the Bible? I hope for all of us, in some way or other, it is a very special book. It is undoubtedly one of the most influential collections of literature in the history of the world. It has shaped so much, not just within the confines of the church, but within society around us. For Protestants, not for all Christians, it's a collection of 66 books, 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New. Though other Christian traditions may add or take away from that number slightly, but the core is the same. And those books were written over a period of 1,200 years or so, but drawing on a much longer oral tradition from previous times and leading to a process of redaction that went on for many years after the final word was jotted down. If you've ever tried to read the Bible in a year, and it's a thing I'd encourage anyone to do, by the end of that year, you'll have read approximately 750,000 words. And those words are shaped into a whole variety of genres. There's laws and books of history. There's wisdom and poetry, prophecy. Letters from individuals and communities to one another. And of course, the Gospels. And all of them, accounts of God's interactions and relationships with creation and most especially humanity. And at the heart of it all, the story of a God who shares in the totality of human experience from birth to death and beyond. Yet far too often we fall for that temptation to reduce it to a compendium of familiar stories and handy catchphrases. So I go back to that question. What truly is the Bible? Certainly a collection of many books written over a long period of time. But even its collective name, Bible, refers to the fact that it means a collection of books. A whole library. But it's not like an encyclopedia. It's a story. The story of God's relationship with God's people. Even you and me. A relationship that won't allow itself to be reduced to some handy, logical formula. It's a story of support, of encouragement, of guidance, of discipline. But it's not a textbook, even though it is a book of texts. And sometimes it challenges us to put aside our questions, our logical arguments, our preconceived ideas, in order that God may speak to us the living word speaking through the written word. When I was at university, it was in Wales, and there was a big celebration because the Welsh Bible had been written and published in 1588. And you could probably go to the vast majority of households in Wales and you could find a Welsh Bible. Now, let me put this in context. The only pages that were opened were the front couple of pages, because in there would be written the family tree, amended with each birth and death, with each generation that passed. And while I was in Aberystwyth, a new version of the Welsh Bible was published, the first since 1588, updated with the knowledge of the times, with more modern Welsh. Even that ancient language changes and evolves. And the first print run was sold out before it was initially released. But I must admit, I did wonder how many simply went to provide more space for the family tree. Because the Bible, the book, only comes alive when we engage with it. When we allow the Word of God, Jesus Christ, to speak to us and illuminate these words of God. And I think it requires something more than mere reading. I think it requires us to engage with prayer and with contemplation and with ears open to hear what God will say to us, whether those words are comfortable to us or discomforting. One of the images of the Holy Spirit is as comforter. Scripture tells us that. Yeah, the old meaning of comforter back in prayer book days wasn't one who put their arm around you and said, "There, there," but one who carried a stick and prompted you, even whacked you with it, to stir you up to action, to engagement. Like many clergy, I have on my computer files of pretty much all the sermons I've ever preached. Now, I've been doing this a while, so it's quite a lot of files, and I must admit, some of the earlier ones, my software can no longer open. It's inaccessible to me. And out of those sermons, I never simply re-preach any of them. I will use old material if I think it's helpful, if I think it's relevant, if I may be very short of time and can't come up with a better idea. But every time I try and rework it at least a little bit. See, I see it as my role to feed God's people. I don't necessarily need to be original. But each time I come back to a passage of Scripture, I find something different. I find something fresh. Partly because I've changed since maybe I wrote that sermon however many years ago. My understanding of faith has changed, I hope grown and matured. And of course I live in a different context. Our world has certainly changed. And the congregations I serve are different also. Yeah, you should have seen the last lot. I'll leave you to fill in the rest. Because each time we engage with Scripture, we are engaging not just with words that have their roots maybe thousands of years ago, but we're engaging with the living God who is present with us now, who speaks to our world, our place, our time. Because it is not God's interest to drag us back thousands of years, but drag us into this present day with a faith that is fresh and relevant for the world in which God has called us to live, so that we might have something to offer to that world that will lead it towards God's light and hope. I encourage you to open that most dangerous of books and to read it. To read it with prayer, to read it with hope, that the living word will speak to you out of the written word. And light, a light, to help you see the path in front of you. None of that can be experienced if the Bible stays on the shelf or the coffee table or wherever, if it never gets opened, let alone read. Today is Bible Sunday, a day when we're called to remember and reflect on the importance of Scripture in defining who we are as a community of faith. Today we acknowledge that this collection of writings by disparate and different people is for our instruction, our encouragement, our nurture and feeding. For it is ultimately a gift to us from God. And today, and each day, please, not just on this day, we are called to read and pray so that the words of God may become so familiar that the ears of our hearts may be tuned to the unfamiliar and the unexpected, and that we may become ready for the unexpected possibilities the God of life and love offers to us all and to all that God has made. Amen.